Our scripture today is the culmination of Holy Week, where Jesus rode in, was jubilee, he was condemned, tried, and crucified. Our scripture today comes from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Can be found on your pew Bibles on page 1188 and 1189. Reads as follows. The Sabbath was over, and it was almost daybreak on Sunday when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. The angel looked as bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook from fear and fell down as though they were dead. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was nailed to a cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life just as Jesus said he would. Come, see the place where his body was lying. Now hurry. Tell his disciples that he has been raised to life and is on his way to Galilee. Go there and you will see him. That is what I came to tell you." The women were frightened and yet very happy as they hurried from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and greeted them. They went near him, held on to his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Tell my followers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." The reading of God's word for the people of God.
Let's pray. Lord, I humbly ask once again that these words will first be acceptable to you, that in your own wonderful but mysterious way you'll use them to draw us closer to you and to each other, that through them our faith will be strengthened. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, a mother one time was trying to explain the meaning of Easter to her little four-year-old daughter. And it wasn't going very well. For you parents out there, have you ever tried explaining the meaning of anything to your four-year-old son or daughter? "Mommy," the little girl asked, "will the Easter bunny bring me some purple jelly beans?" "Yes," the mother said, "the Easter bunny will bring you some jelly beans. But remember, the purpose of Easter isn't about the Easter bunny. It's about Jesus." "But will they be purple jelly beans?" the little girl wanted to know. "Those are my favorite color." "Yes, honey," she said. "The Easter bunny will bring you some purple jelly beans. But remember, the important part of Easter isn't the bunny. It's Jesus and how much Jesus loves you and me and the whole wide world." "Mommy," the little girl said, "how many purple jelly beans will the Easter bunny bring me?" "Listen," the mom said, "the Easter bunny will bring you plenty of purple jelly beans, but remember, Jesus loves you." "Mommy," she said after a while, "will the Easter bunny bring me some Tootsie Rolls too?" I guess when you think about it, it's probably Easter bunnies and purple jelly beans and Tootsie Rolls are probably easier to explain to a child than the real meaning of that first Easter long ago. Today, as you know, is Resurrection Sunday. And it's my guess that most of us are here and we're looking for just a little bit more than Easter bunnies and jelly beans and Tootsie Rolls. And so what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to start by talking about that very first Easter 2,000 years ago. It was on the first day of the week, early in the morning. The sun, in my imagination anyway, was just beginning to rise. Now, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that's how Matthew described the two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They hadn't been able to sleep all night long. They just couldn't believe what had happened to Jesus. He was gone. He was dead. He'd been crucified between two common criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Now, for these two Marys, it wasn't supposed to be like this. What they thought could never, ever happen, happened. Their teacher, their leader, their friend was gone. The one they had hoped in, the one they had believed in, was dead. And like everything else that dies, he was no more. And so sometime in that early morning, those early morning hours, the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to see the tomb. It's kind of an interesting use of words that Matthew has, wasn't it? Matthew said, and they went to see the tomb. Now, if you read Luke or Mark, that's a little bit different. In those two Gospels, they talk about how the women carried spices to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. Not so in Matthew. In Matthew, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And so what do you suppose? What do you suppose they went out there to see? Did they hope to see some beautiful flowers that grew wild in that area? Maybe did they go out there to see the Roman soldiers who were standing guard, dressed in their fancy uniforms and their armor? Did they go out to see some old friends at the tomb who maybe couldn't sleep like they couldn't sleep? Did they go out there to see that huge, large stone that somebody had rolled in front of the tomb to keep people like them out? Is that why they went out, what they went out to see? Or maybe, just maybe, they went to see nothing in particular. Maybe they just wanted to see where Jesus was buried because they still couldn't believe that he was gone. And so the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to see the tomb. It was early in the morning, and as my guess is that the grass was still wet from the morning dew. Slowly and sadly, they made their way along the path on the way to the tomb. But then they saw him. The two Marys saw an angel sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. Now, the two Marys, they weren't expecting to see an angel that day, right? Or they weren't expecting ever to see an angel that day. But there the angel was, dressed in angel clothes, bright as snow. The angel saw the two Marys, and the angel knew what they were thinking. The angel knew why they were out there. And so the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. Look," the angel said, "see for yourself. The tomb is empty. He has been raised." Now, I don't know about you, but to me, this has to be God's greatest surprise ever, right? The tomb was empty. And that's what the two Marys saw that day, an empty tomb. The unthinkable had happened, right? The unbelievable had been accomplished. The amazing had been done. The tomb was empty. Jesus had risen from the dead. And if you think about it, isn't that just like God? Just when you think that everything is lost, just when you think you've done everything you possibly can to do something, just when you feel your last ounce of hope just draining out of you, God steps in and does something new. An empty tomb, a risen Christ. How about that? A woman one time was walking down the streets of, let's say, Bismarck, and she happened to see a beautiful painting of the crucifixion in one of the store windows. And so she stopped in front of that store window, and she started just staring at that beautiful painting. And after a while, she realized that she wasn't alone. There was a young boy standing next to her, and he was also staring at this beautiful painting of the crucifixion. And so this woman, she kind of leaned over and touched the boy's shoulder. "So," she asked him, "what does it mean?" She was just trying to be friendly, see? "Don't you know," this young boy said, the man on the cross is Jesus," he said. "And the woman who's crying, that's his mother. And all them others are Roman soldiers. And," he added, "and they killed him." Now, this woman didn't say anything. What could she say? She just kind of smiled at that young boy and touched him on the shoulder again and walked away. A couple seconds later, she heard footsteps coming fast behind her, and so she stopped and turned around, and there she saw this young boy just racing towards her, and so she waited. "Hey, lady," he halfway shouted, "I forgot to tell you the good part. He rose again. He rose again." The two Marys went out to see something that first Easter, didn't they? What they saw was God doing something new. A stone rolled away, an angel in white, an empty tomb. It was almost as if God were using those things to kind of shout to the whole wide world, "There, it's over. Death is no more. He's alive. Jesus has risen. Hallelujah." And if you think about it, the resurrection of Christ is at the very heart and soul of our faith. Only Christians have a Savior like Jesus. All the other great religious leaders of history, Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad, guess what? They're still in their grave. But not Jesus. Not God's Son. He's risen from the dead. So for us, what that means is that our mysteries of tomorrow, what's going to happen to our tomorrows, they've been solved by the empty tomb of 2,000 years ago. For us, you see, there is a resurrection. For us, there is a place beyond this place. For us, there is life beyond this life. And the beauty is, the good news is this. It doesn't really matter what you've done with your life or haven't done with your life. It doesn't really matter where you've been or where you haven't been. God did it for you. God did something new that day, and God did it for all of us. Our only response, I think, is to accept this gift, to invite Christ into our lives, and do our level best to follow him. Our response, if you will, is to see what the two Marys saw, an empty tomb. Listen to the first verse of our final hymn today on page 302. These are truly, I think, words of Easter. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Earth and heaven in chorus say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Sing, ye heavens, and earth reply, alleluia. Would you pray with me? Lord, you are the risen Christ, and we honor you today, and we celebrate the new life we've been given because of that empty tomb. And so in our own way, using our own words, we declare you Savior, and together with one voice, we sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Please stand.